In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today we have a clarity that we often don't have. We have only two readings today because the saint is a simple commemoration. And actually the saint is Paul the Simple, one of my favorite saints. I pray to him every day. I'll tell you a little bit about him just because his story is so wonderful. Then I want to tell you something even more wonderful. Actually, the something that is so wonderful that made Paul wonderful. He was about 60 years old, was a farmer, just a simple man. And he comes home one day and his wife is in the midst of committing adultery. So he says, God bless you. I'm going to go. You can, you know, have a good life. And I'm sure he prayed for her without any anger. So he goes to the desert where Abba Anthony is, and he wants to be let in to become a monk. Well, he's 60 years old. And Anthony says, you're not going to be able to make it. This is too rigorous for you. And so he shuts his door. Paul stands outside his cell for 3 days and three nights in the hot Egyptian sun. Finally, Anthony relents, seeing that Paul won't go. And then he becomes a monk. And he just did everything Anthony told him. He was very, very simple. So they'd be praying, and Anthony would say, it's time to eat. Anthony would say, take a little crust of dried bread, basically the equivalent of a crouton. And he'd have that, and he'd say, this is enough for a monk. So Paul would say, this is enough for me then, if it's enough for a monk. He would just do everything Anthony did. What happened to him is he was so simple, so humble, that he was a greater expeller of demons than Anthony. And Anthony, of course, was humble enough to recognize this. So he said, the righteous, one time someone came with a problem about a demonized girl. Anthony said, the righteous can expel the smaller demons, but only the truly humble can expel the great ones, the great princes. You got to go to Paul. So Paul easily expelled the demon because of his humility. So that's why I pray to him every day and ask his help. He was just a simple, humble person. And hopefully, I would think that by his prayers, his wife was saved from her sin. So today we have the Golden Rule. And the Golden Rule is so misunderstood. Some people think of it as a law of attraction. In the world, that's what they think of it as. I'll do something good for you, you'll do something good for me. Or if I do something good, somehow cosmically, good will come to me. None of that stuff is true. Well, it might be true that you can get people to do good things for you if you do good things for them. But then what does the gospel say about that? You don't have any thanks. Sinners do that for sinners. Sinners lend to sinners. Sinners are good to sinners. You don't have thanks for any of those things. You have only thanks if you lend without hoping to receive again, if you give to those who will not give back, if you love those who do not love you, if you love those who persecute you. We all know that. But sometimes I think people think of it as sort of an external law. I'm kind of obsessed with this idea. People who know me well know I'm obsessed with this idea of external laws versus internal ones. There are zero, nada, external laws in Christianity. Most people who consider themselves to be Christian think that there are external laws. There are sort of things that God imposes upon us because we're Christians. That's completely not true. All of the laws of God that we are to follow are internal. Every single one of them is in the heart. And I'll prove it to you. It's in both readings today, basically the same exact teaching. And if you understand this, then you live a triumphant life. You live an absolutely stupendous, spiritual, beautiful life if you understand this truth. But this truth can only be understood if it's lived. Not if you just know it from a book as something sort of external, a piece of knowledge. This is not a piece of knowledge. This is life that we're talking about here. And life is not just knowledge. Life is living according to knowledge and then gaining more knowledge. And of course, the great knowledge that we will gain is to know God intimately, because we'll be like him. We'll no longer be like we are now, right? With all of our little passions and our darknesses and all that stuff that swirls around, anxieties and addictions, all that stuff that every single one of us in this room has. We won't have any of that when we're with God in the next age. We'll just be with God and we'll only be light because God will be completely in our deep heart. And there's only God in the heart. There's only light in the heart. There's no darkness. So that's where we're growing to. That's the purpose. And so this is the great news that I want to tell you today, the best news that you will hear all day, and it's the news that you should hear every day and that should be in your heart every day. There's no greater news than this, and that is that ye are the temple of the living God. And therefore, as God hath said, so says Paul, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says it another way, that is the Holy Spirit says it another way in the Gospel of Luke, where he says that if you love your enemies and do good, etc., then ye shall be children of the highest. It's saying the exact same thing. To be the temple of the living God, to be children of the highest. This is the greatest news that you can know. And you must live according to this news every moment of your life. This is what Christianity is. So it's completely internal. God has adopted you. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it, but God has adopted us as children of God. Therefore, we have the prerogatives and the rights of a child of God. We're no longer a child of the world, a child of the devil. We are a child of God. We are not only a child of God, but we are a temple of God. God lives within us completely, or at least he will. I think there's still darkness in us. So to that extent, I guess we could say God is not in us. Although, since God is everywhere, you know, mathematically that really isn't true. God is in us, but God is everywhere. But for God to really energize everything in us, for us to only be God and nothing else, well, that takes much labor and much effort. And then, in the end, it will be worth it because we will only be light and we will be truly, not only children of the highest, but we will know everything that a child of the highest should know, because we will only have God and nothing else. This golden rule that everybody can recite, even people that are not Christians can recite this golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The reason for this golden rule is because we are children of the highest, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Because God has called us to be separate from the rest of the world. By some great mercy that we cannot fathom, we are among are his people. And because of that, internally, in the heart, if God lives in the heart, then we become like God. And God loves everyone without agenda. No agenda whatsoever. This is the key to living absolutely just in a holy way. To love without agenda. As parents, you should love your children without agenda. I know you want your child to be obedient and you want them to do this and maybe you don't want them to do that and you want them to do their schoolwork and you wish that they wouldn't argue so much with their brother or sister. I get all that. And you need to work towards all those goals, but fundamentally, you love your child without agenda because God loves us just because he is. That's all. No other reason. Because God is, God loves. Period. Because we are, and God has come into our hearts and we are temples of him, we love. Period. This is the way to live. That's why the golden rule applies. Because God gives to those who would not give back. God loves those who do not love back. God forgives those who will not stop doing that which they need forgiveness for. So should we. Not because of an external law. Not because it's one of the Ten Commandments or you can derive it from something in the Scripture. It's because God is and we are. And we are now God's. We are children of God. We are children of the Most High. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole, now the entire reason for living is because we are God's. And everything we do should be because we are God's. I'm saying we belong to God. And also the scripture says we are God's. Did you know that? Because in the Psalms, it talks about ye are God's. We are God's because we can create, we can love, we can change things And people's hearts, by the way we act towards them, and by the way we pray for them, and by the way we love them, even if they don't return love, just as God does. So yes, indeed, we are God's, and we also belong to God. And this is the entire reason for the golden rule. There is no other reason. So don't live your life in an external way. Live your life always internally. Now, you know that I'm also obsessed about practical things. I don't know why I like that. I guess I heard enough sermons that were about like, okay, this happened and that happened and okay, fine. And then Sprosnikov. Okay, well, what did we just talk about? I don't like sermons like that. I like to apply the truth because we need it applied to our life. So if we are children of the Most High and we should love because God loves and for the only that reason, that's it, love because God loves, how are we to live in this way? Because the world doesn't. The world doesn't live in this way. Well, you apply yourself with effort, with, as I've said many times before, with your blood. You give your blood to God. You do your prostrations before God. You beg God to help you. You come, of course, to the services regularly. You confess. You do all these things. I think anybody that doesn't read the Psalter is just cheating themselves of this opportunity to inculcate in themselves the sure knowledge that they are children of God. Now you might say, I know I'm a child of God. That's what the church teaches. That's what the Bible says. No, you don't know you're a child of God until you completely live as a child of God. So to that extent, none of us really have full knowledge yet of what it means to be a child of God. Now there's another thing that is in the epistle where St. Paul says, because we are temples of the living God, and God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And so many people, because that is, of course, more or less an allusion to the Old Testament, they think in terms of a legal thing. We got to be separate from people that do bad things, or we have to not do our bad things. We can't smoke or chew or go with girls who do. No, it's not about that. It's not about not doing drugs or this or that. Those things should come out of living a spiritual life. But they're not the goal of the spiritual life. The goal of the spiritual life is to have God within us and to know God within us. And if we are, then we're separate. We're separate from the world. And let's take perhaps the best example of how to be separate from the world. It's right in the gospel today, the golden rule. So what does the world do? You do something for me, I'll do something for you. And you be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You do a favor for me, I'll do a favor for you. Perhaps maybe I have to do 3 or 4 favors to get a favor from you. But basically it's because I have an agenda. I'll be nice to you so that I get something. I'll be kind to you so I can get something. I'll perform a certain way in work so I can get something more. Become higher up so that I can perform some more and get higher up again. And then at the end of it, I don't even know who I am anymore. That's the way the world thinks of the golden rule. But the golden rule is to be completely separate from the world, not to have agendas, 0 agendas. Now, I'm not saying you don't have plans. I got all kind of plans, all kind of plans. And with all of you, so many of you, I have things in my mind that I'm trying to help you to do, and I have concerns that I'm praying for. All that's still the case, absolutely. But without agenda, as St. Paisios coined a phrase, good indifference. If you love someone, you have good indifference about how well they do. I mean, you love them, you cry for them, you do prostrations for them, but you have no ill feeling towards them when they aren't smart enough to do all the good stuff you told them to do. You just love them without agenda. That is being exactly like God. That is a greater miracle than raising the dead. Because raising the dead, well, I mean, that's a great miracle, but to actually master yourself so that you love without agenda, that is being purely like God. That's as high as you can get, is to love without agenda. And that's what you should be aiming for. Love without agenda. That's the golden rule. To do good to those as you would have them do good to you. Not because you want them to do good for you. I mean, of course you want them to do good to you. I mean, we're not crazy people. We're not masochists. We don't walk around saying, please hurt me. But you do things according to how you're the measurement. So, do you like to get yelled at? No. Should you yell at anybody? No. especially children. Do you like it when somebody makes fun of you or is mean to you? No. Then why in the world are you mean to your brother or your sister or a friend at school? You measure what you do to others based upon how you would like it. And it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to know what you would like and what others therefore would like. That's it. And you don't do it in order to gain something, though, because that's acting like the world. That's the way we're separate from the world. Most people think being separate means, you know, we don't do certain sinful things. It's not what that means. If you're separate from the world, you don't act like a person in the world. You don't have an agenda like a person in the world. You love without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, without agenda. That's the way of life. That's the only way of life, by the way. And it's a great way of life. And it's great news. And that's the news that you should know every day. When you wake up in the morning, you should realize that you are a child of God, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you can live. And then the next thing you should do is be doing your prostrations and praying, even before you brush your teeth, and certainly before you even look at your phone. You do your prostrations. And if you're not doing prostrations well, I hate to tell you. I don't hate to tell you, do I? You're doing it wrong. You gotta do prostrations. You gotta do them. If you can't do prostrations, then do bows. But pretty much all of us can do prostrations. And the reason you do that is because your blood goes to God. And blood is life. And God mixes with that blood and gives you life. Prayer is very critically important. You have to remind yourself by your fervency of prayer that you are a child of God. And then you go out into the world and you're separate from the world. You're still part of things, you know, you still go to work and you still take a bus or you still go down to the lunchroom to eat and all these things that happen. You still go to school, still go to the store, but you're not part of that world because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you love without dissimulation. You love without agenda. This is the way of life. Now, if you have troubles in your life, all of us have troubles in our life. All of us have terrible troubles in our life, every single one of us, except maybe the little babies. Everybody else has troubles. Everybody else has anxieties, all of us. Anxieties and things that we're sad about, things that we wish could be different, things that perhaps make us even angry or jealous. We have all those things happening. You have all those troubles. If you live in a way that you love people without agenda, all those troubles will go away. I'm not saying that the things that are happening will go away. The disturbance in your soul because of those things will go away. That's really true. And that's a greater miracle than raising the dead. Very few people have reached this point, but you can. There's no reason why all of us can't do it. All we need to do is decide to love people without agenda. That's it. That's what the golden rule is. It's not just to love people who love you. It's not just even to love people as you think that you want to have be loved. It is to love as God loves. We do this. Then we are sons of the Most High, daughters of the Most High. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we're all light, no dark. May God bless you and help you.